Hello and welcome to the podcast from the Foundation for Science and Technology. This is one of a special sequence of podcasts recorded at the 5th annual conference of INGSA, the International Network for Government Science Advice. This year's INGSA conference is being held in the Rwandan capital of Kigali. And for this discussion, I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Remy Quirion, Chief Scientific Advisor to Quebec in Canada and President of INGSA. Remy, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to you and welcome to all the participants.
So some of the people listening won't know very much about INGSA. So perhaps you could just tell us a little bit what it is and how it's developed over the last few years.
So INGSA is 10 years old this year. We have about 6,000 members in 150 countries over the world. So very broad. And basically, the main mission of INGSA is building capacity in science advice, to some extent science diplomacy globally. We started in the Global South, chapter in Africa, Latin America, and Asia. Now we're also building a chapter in Europe and one in North America, and focus is always building capacity in science advice, scientists advising government on matters related to science.
So that 10-year period has included a number of things, but one of the big things, of course, for everybody was the COVID-19 pandemic. And I know that was an area where suddenly people were coming to INGSA asking for help and advice. Can you tell us a little bit how INGSA was used and operated during the COVID pandemic?
That's a great question. And of course, the pandemic was a huge impact all over the world. And for us, in a sense, it was a eye-opener, I would say, for many governments. And they say we need help, we need structured science advice in our country, but we don't have the means to do so. And it was not necessarily just focused on the impact of the COVID pandemic on their country, but also related to climate change, for example. In the Pacific Islands, small country in Pacific Islands, we need advice, we need science advice, but we don't have the capacity to structure science advice in our country. So we link them with science advisor and expert in New Zealand and Australia. So that's how the network built during the pandemic. So we expanded quite a lot, almost beyond our mean, because it's still a rather small organization. So with the number of asks that we had from all over the world, say we need to change probably the way we do things a bit, and trying to make sure that our chapter that I mentioned earlier on, they collaborate between themselves. Mm-hmm. That's one of the main objective of the meeting here in Kigali.
Mm. Well, let's talk about Kigali. This is obviously the first time that INGSA has had one of its two yearly conferences in Africa, and the African INGSA group was the first one to be set up as a regional group. So tell us a little bit about INGSA Africa and sort of how that's developed and why we're here in Kigali, which is wonderful, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's the first of our global meeting in the Global South. Mm. So yes, Africa, but even the Global South. Before that, we had Tokyo, Montreal, Brussels, Auckland. So the first time I really wanted to have it in the Global South and especially in Africa. And because of the, as you said, the chapter, our first chapter was established in Africa. Kigali, when we had some training session, workshop in various part of Africa, various country, we had one a few years back in Kigali. I had the opportunity at that time to meet with President Kagame and many members of his government. And they say, we want science is key for us. We want to build capacity in science for our country, Rwanda, and we need science advice. So we decided to establish a hub, a training hub, at the University of Rwanda in Kigali, that's currently functioning with 5 teachers at the university focused on that, but also say, well, maybe we should have our next big meeting in Kigali. Great support from the government of Rwanda, from the University of Rwanda, and we're here with over 300 participants from 65 countries. So that's quite amazing.
Yeah, it's certainly a very exciting place and there's a lot of buzz around. We're dealing with a lot of different countries and every country will have its own systems and its own mechanisms. And one of the things about INGSA is a way of sharing some of the different ways that countries do this science advice system. What are the different things that you've seen? I won't say is there a right or wrong answer, of course there isn't, but are there general themes about differences between, I don't know, the global south and the developed north, or between small countries and large countries and so on?
Of course, the larger country, if we think of the United States, if we think of the UK, Commonwealth-related country, more of a tradition of having structured science advice. If we think of French-speaking country, for example, including France, it's not in the habit of a structured type of science advice organization. So for us, we're agnostic to the model. I think so. We see what's important, you have some kind of model, some kind of structure, and finding ways to make sure that scientists are comfortable and willing to talk with the elected official or high-level policymaker, so that there is a link, there is more of a structured dialogue between the two. And we have to adapt to the local situation. What I saw as coming from Quebec, French-speaking and all that, during the pandemic, for example, lot of interaction in Commonwealth, between Commonwealth country. What do we know or don't know about the pandemic, about the virus and all that? Almost nothing on French-speaking, on the French-speaking side. So we created last year an international network for scientific advice in French-speaking country. So culture and language have impact on the organization of science advice. And of course, in some country, maybe it's an academy, some other country, it's a chief scientist as advisor, in other countries, both. So I think we need to be open to different model, different approach, and we have to learn from each other. And that's one of the main objectives of INCSA now, that we are 10 years old, exchange between chapter that we have in the Global South, chapter that we are developing in the North, best practice training the next generation of scientists to think about science advice and science diplomacy as something useful and also fun to do.
And in order to do that learning, there needs to be evaluation. And one thing from my perspective is that I don't see as much evaluation of the science advice mechanisms in different places. Is that your understanding as well? And how do we improve this?
That's a very good point. Yes, we have, in a sense, 10 years ago, some country had good model, good infrastructure for science advice. Many, many countries did not, and many, including country in the North and country, of course, in the Global South. Now we have started to establish the structure. And it's still early on in many cases. So it's few years, like the first 5 years of INCSA, I think, was mostly workshop. After that, try to establish a bit more structured, long-term structured type of model in various countries. Now it's time to say, okay, what worked best? And as you said, a bit more indicator. We don't want to become too formal, but it's important as well to say, in my country, what you're doing, for example, in Canada does not work for the following reason. So you have to adapt the models. I think the next few years would be very, very important to have these data to be able to convince also, to be easier to convince some government if you have data. Because now it's more or less, yes, I need it, as I mentioned, for during the pandemic, but why and how? That's very important.
And obviously, you've got your primary role as chief scientist as Quebec. What have you learned through INCSA that's then helped you take back into that role?
I think it's to be open to different model, to different approach. Because of course, when the Quebec government established the role of chief scientist 12 years ago, it was kind of an experiment almost. You have that, and what do you do? Learning, and I start learning from other country and all that. But I think, especially from the Global South, thus far we have, I think, science advisors have exchanges among themselves, and many of them are more in the Global North. So now we need to also learn from the Global South. And for us, for example, in Quebec, in Canada, with kind of the dual type of culture, more British-like with English and then more French-like with the Francophone side, coming to Africa, for example, where you have, yes, French, English, but also Spanish, and many, many, many local languages. So learning about that, how do they do effective science advice? And some countries are doing a beautiful thing, like Benin, for example, is doing great work. Senegal is establishing a lot of work, Morocco as well, South Africa. So learning for me as a, coming from the north, coming from Quebec, learning from colleagues in the south, it's also something that we need to do more and more globally. Again, learning from each other, training the next generation, and adapting the training to the local situation.
And do you see within Africa, within the global south, those countries working together? In some cases, they may have more in common than with some countries in the global north.
It's a, that's a very, very important. So in Africa, and of course, Africa is a huge, huge continent with a lot of culture and language and different ways of doing things. So it's not one model here, it's many different models. But what we want to promote at INCSA over the next, let's say, 5 years is South-South collaboration. So starting to the colleague in Africa, starting to exchange more with colleagues in Latin America and in Asia. And I think they are very, very keen on that. So instead of always north-south, south-north, now exchanging among themselves in terms of best practice and science advice, that's one of our objectives for the next few years.
Fantastic. You did mention earlier the sort of a Francophone activity. Of course, we're conducting this in English, and that's my fault because I certainly couldn't do this in French. But how has that activity gone, and how has that changed some of the conversations that you were previously having in English with certain areas?
It's a good question as well. And when we started to have training workshop in Africa, I mentioned first one were in Africa, South Africa. Then we had many other on the continent. Went to Cameroon, we came here to Rwanda, but we had also in Morocco, we had also in Senegal. And there it started, we saw a bit of tension between the more like English way of doing things, Commonwealth. So we said we need probably to put in place a structure where expert, French-speaking expert could exchange. It doesn't mean that you exclude the colleague from English-speaking colleague, but also you have a ways of doing, of exchanging with free Francophone-speaking country. And that's quite successful. It's now about a year and a half old. They are all here in Kigali as well. So they'd be able to exchange with their colleague from English-speaking country, start to exchange a bit more with French-speaking, and hopefully we'll be able to have another network, let's say, Spanish-speaking type of country with Latin America. They are quite eager to have that. So I think learning a bit of difference in terms of culture and language is important to have more effective science at the delivery of science advice, and hopefully to have more impact. We have started a pilot project in Europe on that front, language and culture and science advice, different model. It's a colleague, one of the VP of INCSA, Claire Craig at Oxford, leading that project. But of course, other parts of the world could be used for that, but Europe is fabulous for that too, with other culture and language, and I'm sure that we'll learn from that. They will present some of their data here in Kigali, and hopefully in a year time, the pilot project will be finished and be able to say, yes, there is impact of culture and language, or no, the impact is minimal. But we need data there as well. We're still scientists, so we need data.
Absolutely. I mean, from my own perspective, just dealing in English, the English used between a government and the English used in universities, certain words mean different things. And words like evidence or uncertainty or risk or whatever. And I can imagine also, as you translate some of those words into different languages and the cultures behind them, the possibility for not quite understanding because you don't quite get the context must be huge, right?
Yeah, for sure. Just advice.
Yeah.
Depending of where you are in the world can mean something very, very
That's
different.
Interesting. Right? Yeah. I hadn't thought of the word advice, but yeah, no, I get that. So we're now just about to start the 2 days conference here in Kigali. So we're recording this the day before the first 2 days. So what's coming up? What are you really looking forward to over the next couple of days?
I think the program is quite full, very packed with many, many sessions on many different topics, but it's really to be inclusive. So the main thematic of the meeting, the transformative imperative, being inclusive, so to include different culture, different age group, different gender, to take that into consideration more and more when you give science advice, when you think or work on science diplomacy. So making sure that you do not leave anyone behind. That's one of the objectives of INCSA. And of course, it's huge, it's big, as a transformative imperative, but I think that's where we need to go. And I put a lot of hope on the new generation, the next generation. So that's why many of the sessions that we'll have on over the next few days, speaker, invited speaker, it would be a first for them to give a talk at INCSA. So it's not that people like me or the first group involved with INCSA are over the hill necessarily, but we need to bring on board the new generation. And that's what we have tried to do here in Kigali with many speakers from Africa, but also from Asia and Latin America.
That's certainly very important. And you can see in different countries that the need to build capacity at all levels, not just at the senior level. And I know from my own country in the UK, you find that more junior academic staff at universities, the focus from the university is to focus them very much on research, not on how that research could impact policy. And by the time they're more senior, they have that interaction. But possibly their knowledge and understanding of some of the things that they were dealing with before is less. So is this a sort of, it's great that we're doing it internationally here at INCSA, but also on a national level, there are presumably in many countries issues and problems of trying to bridge this gap.
Yeah, and we have a session here at the meeting with the Global Young Academy and also a group from Quebec that we have at the Quebec Board, Quebec Research Fund, and to discuss what is excellence, what is excellence in science. And as you mentioned, often we think in terms of university career, publication in peer-reviewed journal, in the high-impact journal. But as important, we start to think, and the younger generation is asking that, what about the link with citizen? What about the link with the public? How do I explain? Yes, we need to focus on our science, and if you want to become a biochemist and a PhD in biochemistry, you need to understand biochemistry. But maybe as well, you should be recognized if you contribute to society by explaining your research in simple words to your citizen, even involving them in some research projects. So citizen science type of model, there's more and more of that. But I think you need to change a bit the way you reward excellence in university. Of course, paper publication will always be very important, but at the same time, what about teaching? What about participation in society and recognizing that a bit more? Mm-hmm. And that's certainly one of the topics mm-hmm. that the Global Young Academy is pushing for, also saying, yes, paper are important, but we need to do a bit more than that mm-hmm. and talking with our citizens. And maybe it's a way also to keep them involved and interested in science. Science literacy is certainly something critical. We have seen that during the pandemic, quite a bit of disinformation, misinformation. So science literacy, involving the public in science is I think in the long run will pay off very well for all of us scientists globally. Mm.
I wanted to ask you about one other trend, and probably, I don't know the exact date, 10, 15 years ago, the Royal Society in the UK published a report, and it highlighted terms that were in use and have become more common, which were science for policy and policy for science, and it explained the difference between those two. And more recently, conversations have suggested that those terms aren't as helpful as they were before, because actually they're separating the funding and doing of science with how useful it is. Is that a thing that you're picking up across a number of countries?
Yeah. And also when you are a practitioner of science and science advice and science diplomacy, you see, it's all kind of mixed, kind of murky. You cannot divide it so strictly on this is A, B, and C. It's often all mixed together. And yes, it was helpful a few years back to have this kind of a category, but more and more we realize that if we want to be very effective on the ground with high-level policymaker or elected official, you have to work in these various fields. You cannot say, oh, I'm an expert on science for policy. I don't want to hear about anything else. That's not the day job of a chief scientist.
Well, listen, we're coming towards the end of our time, but I wanted to ask you one last question. So obviously, INGSA is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year. So look forward for us 10 years. How would you like to see INGSA develop over the next decade?
I think we should be recognized as a global leader in building capacity in science advice, in helping scientists of all shape and form to be involved in the delivering science advice to their government, be involved in science diplomacy, and that the next generation will see INGSA as a nice organization, fun organization to be part of and trying to help to continue to develop science advice globally.
Wonderful. Well, that is all we have time for. But Professor Rémy Quirion, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the podcast from the Foundation for Science and Technology. My guest this week was Professor Rémy Quirion, Chief Scientific Advisor to Quebec and President of INGSA. This podcast is produced by the Foundation for Science and Technology. You can find details of all our work, including events, our journals, our Future Leader Programme, and all previous editions of this podcast on our website at www.foundation.org.uk. Until the next time, goodbye.